What does that look like to engage in that conversation about white privilege?
It doesn't mean that you haven't had to work hard for what you've achieved.
Yeah.
It does not mean that you won't have to continue to work hard. What it does mean is that you have not had to, your entire race generally had to be disadvantaged because of the color of your skin. That is just a reality of just what has taken place for Black Americans, is that there has been this level of disadvantage. That doesn't mean that you were the one who like made that happen. But you have benefited from it. You can use your white privilege, your platform, to bring good to your brothers and sisters of color.
Welcome to the Three Creeks Church podcast. Today, our message is a conversation between two godly women in our church, Morgan Traynor and Keandrea Scott. And they're going to have an honest conversation about race and how exasperated we can feel about the situation we're in. We hope this conversation can inspire you to continue to fight for unity among all peoples.
So we're going to just jump in. I mean, there's no easy way to jump into a conversation like this, but I'm excited about this conversation. We got to meet up, what, last week sometime and went on a walk, and we're just processing and talking about how we felt like the Lord was leading us. And I think we both came away from that feeling like the Holy Spirit was leading us towards basically the same thing, which was exciting and confirming, and even some of the same passages of Scripture. Why don't you just start us off and tell us, for the people that watch today, what's the thing that you hope that they come away with?
The main thing is simple, but it's very vital. It's that racial unity is important to God, so it should be important to us. And when we talk about racial unity, I think a lot of times we envision like just this kumbaya circle where we're just always holding hands. And it's like, that's great, and we want to get to that point, but let's look at what it takes to get there and what it takes to maintain that. And so that takes hard conversations, you know, disagreeing sometimes. That's going to take some repenting. Looking back at you know, how we can move forward. And it's not easy. When you have to approach conflict, you think about your marriage or a relationship. In order to maintain something healthy, it takes hard work. And so I want us to hone in on that as well, is that we want racial unity. I think all of us would say that we desire that and we want that. If we say we want racial unity, and we see that it's important to God and it becomes important to us, but we're not actually willing to be uncomfortable and do the hard work that it takes, then I think we need to go back to the drawing board. I want us to go to John chapter 17. I think that is an amazing starting point. You and I kind of talked about that, and we were just like, wow, this has got to be a great place for us to hone in on. And so I'm just going to read from verse 20 of John chapter 17, and we're going to read through verse 23. It says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." This is a prayer that Jesus is praying to the Father, and he's getting ready to be crucified here shortly. And so I just imagine just all the things that could be on his mind. And he's praying, obviously, the most important things that he wants to leave with us. And he repeatedly talks about unity for believers years to come. He can see that. And even during that time, it was a struggle as well. He talks about Jesus being in the Father and the Father being in him, and the unity that they share. And that is the foundation of what our unity should be. He prays that we would have that same unity. And then he takes it a step further and he says, the world would know me by this.
Right.
And that is just, man, that ought to shake us something up in us. That ought to stir something up in us to go, how are we hurting our own witness of who Jesus is by our lack of unity with one another?
Right. And I think in the American church today, there's so many, I mean, obviously you can read a million places in the Bible about a million things that are important to the heart of God. But it's interesting that we don't talk about this more than we should. That just like you said, these were some of Jesus's last words, his last commands to us as believers before he went and died on the cross. And his heart was to say, I want you to be unified as believers because the world will know you, will know me because of the unity of believers. So it's interesting that maybe we don't talk about this quite as much. And I want to hear your take on that specifically, whether that's the American church or even our church, Three Creeks Church in general. How do you think we're doing with that command?
You know, I think that there has been a lot of progress that I've seen here recently. The American church as a whole has been making, because this has been going on for years.
Right.
I mean, we think all the way back to 1964 when segregation was ended, which that was pretty long ago.
Yeah.
But now I feel like here in 2020, this is the most that I've seen people actually tuning in to some of these issues and actually willing to address it within their churches.
Right.
And so I think that a lot of progress is being made, but we can't stop there. We have a long ways to go.
Right.
And Three Creeks specifically, I believe we are kind of in the middle of progress. Like, I feel like we are... our leaders, you and Joel, are definitely about it. Like, you're not just giving lip service and saying you want this. Like, you are actually taking steps. Our church is taking steps in that direction.
Right.
But still, I mean, I think we can look at our church and go, we are not where, you know, we want to be.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that overall, I've had this thought. I know other people that have had this thought. Like, man, this sounds great. Like, I want unity as a church. I want people to see Jesus through the interactions that we're having with people that look or think or talk differently than me. But in actuality, sometimes I get overwhelmed about how do we do that?
Yeah.
You know, the question of practically what does this look like in our context, but even just in general, as we're talking about racism, what are we supposed to do? So I know that you had a passage of scripture you wanted to share in regards to that.
Yep, I just flipped to it. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This passage, we talked about this as well.
Yeah.
This, to me, is the blueprint of what this practically could look like. Because we can talk about a lot of things, but I think it's really important for us as believers to go back to what does God's word say about this. And if we're actually taking this charge to live a life worthy of the calling we've received, then we would be humble enough to go, okay, that white privilege thing, that doesn't really make sense to me. But I'm willing to actually try to listen and hear it out.
Sure.
You know, maybe my pride might be in the way there, but if I'm humble enough to maybe receive correction on something, or to be gentle when correcting someone.
Yeah.
It talks about bearing with one another in love.
Yeah.
You know, those things, like if you're hurting, like how can I bear that burden with you? This, in the heading over this passage, it says unity in the body of Christ. And these, I mean, this is not racism and division. It's all sin.
Right.
And this has been going on since the beginning of time.
Right.
And so we see Paul addressing the church at Ephesus about this very thing.
Yeah.
And then I also believe that we have to engage, like just engage to what's like happening.
Yeah.
And that's, if that could be through social media, that may mean following some different social media accounts that might you know, provide some awareness.
Sure.
Watching some different TV programming.
Yeah.
I don't think as believers we can afford to disengage from this conversation. You know, as a white person, you're like, man, well, I wasn't a part of what my ancestors did. So, you know, why do I have to, you know, but it's about what God calls us to, the spirit of unity that we go back to in John 17.
Right.
He says that we're his ambassadors.
Right.
So even if we feel unattached to this, we need to get attached to it because it's obviously it's a gospel issue. And it's something that I believe that God is looking down right now and going, they really need to figure this out because people are being turned away from churches
because
of this.
Yep. I will speak personally, and I'm sure that maybe others can resonate with this, but I've wrestled even recently with stepping back in regards to conversations or let's talk about race, even from people like you and John, because I fear, I don't want to put that on you. Like, I don't want you to become burdened with my need to educate myself and my family. So how do you feel about that?
It becomes a burden only if it's approached in a certain way. And what I mean by that is, like, if you are constantly, you know, going, what, tell me what to do, or what do I need to, you know, it's like you're going and you're just constantly wanting to be, like, fed, the instruct. Like, if you're a boss and you have someone working with you and you've, and they're not taking any initiative or trying to be proactive, that kind of gets, like, a little bit under your skin. You're kind of like, are you really, like, about, you know, doing your job well? Because you're not taking any initiative. I don't mind helping you. I want to help.
Yeah.
But can you join me? It doesn't feel like we're in this together when it's only you asking me what to do. I also think it can become burdensome when it's only that you're wanting to talk when it's trending or like when something big has happened in the news and you're, it's like, okay, so then it becomes, you can kind of question, well, is this really genuine or am I just being used to make you feel better because this is a trending topic right now? But overall, please, my white brothers and sisters out there, do not stop approaching your black friends, even if you are met with something that is difficult to receive. And so that, I mean, that, I hope that helps.
Yeah, that's good.
I myself have had many moments where I've had to go, it's not about me. Even though I'm a little tired. I kind of just want to talk about something else today.
Right.
But again, what is the, what is the calling that God has placed on us as believers?
Yep.
We have to keep going. That doesn't mean that you don't take a step back sometimes.
Right.
But we can't give up.
Yep, that's good. And I think even to clarify some of the, what are we talking about when we talk about unity? I don't want there to be a confusion of thinking that that means conformity. And
that's
that
good.
We are going to have to look, talk, think exactly like one another. I was thinking about this through the lens of even parenting and how there are a number of my friends or even family members where we don't parent the same way. Maybe, you know, you do bedtime this way and whatever, that's a dumb example, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
It doesn't have to look the same way, but at the same time, as we look at this Ephesians lens of relationships and how do I relate to my friends that maybe I disagree with about their parenting style, I have been humbled a handful of times in regards to even how I've chosen to parent my kids. And I think that that's because I have been able to come into conversations with a humble heart and a teachable spirit say, man, I think I could have done body training better. That is what, if you know me, you know that did not go well.
That's really good. I think too, there on that, along that same line with the uniformity, we hear that one a lot. Like, just, I mean, we hear a lot of people talk about it. Just like, we're all one race. You know, I don't see color. And we just have to, we need to say that that is actually contributing to the problem of racism. I mean, even if we go back to the scripture of John 17 and we see Jesus talking about how he is in the Father and the Father is in him, but they're one. But they're different. Like you said, they have different roles.
Yep.
Jesus and God, different, completely different roles. And but yet they are together. And I believe we misconstrue that unity and reconciliation means that we are, like you said, we're all going to look the same. But just like in a family, you have kids and they are all of your bloodline, right? They all come from you. They have the same blood, but yet each kid looks different. They have different personalities.
Yeah.
And for me, if someone doesn't see my uniqueness, I don't feel seen. You know, I feel like, okay, well, I just need to be like Morgan, or I need to be like, and that is more harmful than good. So it's important within that to not put that above my identity in Christ, of course. Because I think that's a fine line also, is that we don't want to just glorify that so much that now that has become my sole identity. Obviously, my identity in Christ is way more important than what I look like and what my heritage is.
Right.
But it's let's acknowledge that it's there.
Right. It's an important part of who you are. You know, as we continue to talk about practically how we live this out as followers of Jesus, let's take some of the hot topics or phrases as you would that you hear being thrown around. And put it through this lens, this Ephesians 4 lens. Specifically, let's start with white privilege.
Okay.
What does that look like as a follower of Jesus to engage in that conversation about white privilege?
Absolutely. I think when you hear that term, I can sort of understand how it can sort of be a term that kind of makes you cringe and just go, oh, no, that's not me. I think they're automatically offended because of the term privilege. It doesn't mean that you haven't had to work hard for what you've achieved. It does not mean that you won't have to continue to work hard for what you have achieved as a white person. It's not taking any of that away from you. But what it does mean is that you have not had to, your entire race generally had to be disadvantaged because of the color of your skin, or you haven't had to have your whole race kind of have to fight through different barriers to prevent you from being, I guess, successful or have financial advances in life. And that is just a reality of just what has taken place for Black Americans, is that there has been this level of disadvantage. And that doesn't mean that you were the one who, like, made that happen. But you have benefited from it. And that is simply what it is. And but I think it is, God is a God who can take negative things and make them good. You can use your your white privilege, your platform, to bring good to your brothers and sisters of color. If you can look at it from that vantage point of how can I bear with my brother and sister with my white privilege? How can I speak up for them? How can I bring them to, I mean, you and Joel, for example, bringing John and I into the mix. I mean, that is a way to use, I mean, us having this conversation. That is a way to use your platform for the good of the kingdom, for the good of my brothers and sisters.
I know, I mean, we've even had conversations before about times when maybe you are engaging in these topics and people disagree, or there's tension, it brings tension into the relationship. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you have responded and how we should respond when we just don't understand or don't agree with something that's being said.
I'm so glad you said that. This has been so heavy on my heart. Specifically because, I mean, if we're really doing this and we're trying to do the work and we're engaging people in conversations, things are not always going to be smooth. You know, you're going to have some bumps in the road and some disagreements with people. And so we have, I've had a couple moments like that, my husband and I, and just talks with friends. And there was one situation in particular that it just was not, we couldn't get past a certain issue. And we were starting to feel like discouraged about it. Just like, man, well, why, you know, why is this just seems like we can't come to the same, you know, we can't be unified in this one subject. But there was a small temptation, I'm going to be honest, Morgan, in all honesty, there was a small temptation to sort of feel like, okay, well, we just need to move on from this person. They don't agree with us. And this is, I mean, this is God's heart and all these things. But as we kind of chewed on that more, the Lord totally hit us smack dab in the face and was like, this is not what I've called you to as a believer. Just because you disagree with somebody or somebody doesn't agree with what your stance is, there's nothing biblical about cutting off a relationship because of that. And I have to be honest, I've seen so many people talking about that on social media or just hearing them say, this person isn't good for my energy. And just, you know, if they can't accept this, then I'm cutting off this relationship. And you guys, that is, I mean, that is not God. I don't believe that is God's heart. When he prayed for that unity, he knew it was going to be hard. It's like we talked about, it is a struggle. It is a fight, but we have to keep persevering and go, you know what? You don't see this. Let me be patient with you. Maybe we can revisit this conversation at another time. Or maybe we can talk about something else and we can go pray and let's come back to this. But we should never cut off a relationship because we disagree.
That's good. The conversation, Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter. Again, as a follower of Jesus, how can we find unity about this topic?
I think we just have to listen. When it comes to this, it really comes down to listening to what is really being said here. Because that really, to me, is what makes it difficult. Maybe for if I put myself in someone's shoes who doesn't understand it, to hear them say, well, we shouldn't say that. That's bringing about division. Well, if you say, so when we're saying Black Lives Matter, if you put an implicit two on the end, that's really what's being said is like Black Lives Matter too. Just like White Lives Matter. And historically speaking, that they have not, it doesn't seem like they have equally as white lives. And so that's what's being said. If we really, really listened closely, we could hear that. But when we just see that and go, okay, that all lives matter. Black lives are not the only lives that matter. I think we're choosing to kind of be a little prideful about that and to almost looking for a way to just kind of just not engage in that conversation. And it's very, very insensitive because it's like basically when you say all lives matter to Black Lives Matter, It's like, well, you're not seeing the problem. The fact that you're saying all lives matter to Black Lives Matter just goes to show you that you don't understand that they haven't mattered as much. And so if we're truly, if we go back to Ephesians 4, keep going back to that. If I could challenge you to have the patience to really sit down and examine what that really means and have the heart to want to bear with our Black brothers and sisters. then I think that that could help us change just how we see that topic.
I think, you know, in all of these things that we've walked through, these hot topics or phrases, the one that sticks out to me in that Ephesians 4 passage is humility.
Mm-hmm.
I think humility is huge. It's key for us in all areas of our lives, right? But in regards to this topic of racism, that I need to be humble to look at myself in regards to these things, to listen to another person's perspective. And if I choose to go into any of that with a prideful heart or a prideful spirit, of course we're not going to reach unity.
Right.
Of course we're not. I want to give you space to give any other thoughts before we move into the conclusion. But any other thoughts or things you want to leave people with?
The biggest thing is just like, this has got to shake us up. Like, we have to be moved by this.
Yeah.
We have to catch the vision of John 17 and have the urgency for that unity of spirit. It's 2020. I know that Martin Luther King, you know, before he was martyred, did not, you know, think that this would be our future. And I know Jesus knew all things, but I know he was hoping for so much for us when it comes to this spirit of unity. And I believe that that the church would be just on fire if we could truly catch this vision and just run with it and be willing to do whatever it takes. Be willing to look at the white privilege, the Black Lives Matter. Be willing for me to go, I'm tired of talking about this, but I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
You know, be willing to be open and approachable to whoever you are. I mean, I think it's everyone has been charged with this. Black, white, everyone, Asian, everyone is being charged with this. Is to walk in the manner worthy that the calling that God has given us. And so let's filter our actions through that blueprint of unity.
Well, I want to thank you, Keandra, for entering into this conversation with me, with our church, for the people that watched. And thank you for joining in with us and entering into this conversation. But we hope it continues. We hope it continues in your dining room, in your living room, by a bonfire. We hope that for the next few months and years to come, that this is a conversation that we continue to have.
Thanks for listening. We hope this message encouraged you and challenged you to learn and grow in your understanding of God's love for every person on this planet. To find out more about Three Creeks, visit ThreeCreeksChurch.com.